Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Once again, welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host, and it is my privilege and pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience once again as we reason and study together God's holy word. Let us begin with the word of prayer. Father God, once again, you have allowed us yet another day, and for that we're eternally grateful. Now, Lord, let us not waste this day, but let us use this time that you have blessed us with to study your holy and inspired word, to get a greater understanding that you may conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, come now as only you can. Teach us as only you can. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. All right, we're in a study of the book of Acts. We're in chapter 2, and as I've been saying and continually try to say, that this is a chapter, I believe, that the devil truly attacks because it separates the body of Christ because of the different interpretation on the gift of tongues and what that really means and what it meant. Amen. So again, I am just giving you what I believe to be what the word says, and you may disagree with me, and that's okay, but let's not allow the enemy to separate and segment us because of this difference. Amen. So we had been looking in these first few verses, and we see the day of Pentecost had come. Then the 120 received cloven tongues like as fire. And last week we discussed that we don't know exactly what it was, but fire is symbolic to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Jews use largely symbolic meanings to different things. So when the wind, which represented the Spirit, and fire represents the purity and presence of God, and we know that even in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory, and when God was leading them out of Egypt, was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. We know that God gives some physical representations of himself. So to the Jewish mindset, this event that took place on the day of Pentecost was nothing totally strange. They should have been able to relate to it. It was also a day that the Spirit was now to indwell the people. And it says, note that in verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we need to pay attention to this all. All had received the Spirit instantly, indicating that all believers from that point on would receive the Spirit of God in this new age. We are now entering into the dispensation of the church age, the birth of the church. We are now coming out of the Old Testament now into the New Testament, if you will, and God is unfolding his New Testament plan for what the church should do. And the church will be made up of all nations. The church will be made up of all believers in Jesus Christ. Paul said, neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. Salvation is open to all, and all who receive Jesus Christ become the body of Christ known as the church. So we find now that, like I said, that this speaking in tongues was a known language, unknown to those who spoke. And the miracle that was transpiring was not in the listeners' ears, but rather in the mouths of the 120. They spoke in languages and dialects that were not common for them to speak in. And all who heard understood them. There's a multiplicity of nations mentioned in these verses. When you go through verses 9, 10, and 11, we see there's some about 16 nations represented here that heard the message, the wonder works of God, the miracles of God, what God's plan was. So we find that this event was like none other in history. Again, God does these things to change the hearts and minds of people. The speaking with tongues at Pentecost was doubtless done in perfect order without any confusion, and it was given for that, just for that occasion. Now, I personally believe that this gift was done for the furtherance of God's kingdom and the birth of his church. And let me add this before, while it's running through my mind, that many times we have different interpretations on this chapter and many different beliefs in the gifts of tongues. But I find that the Bible talks specifically about tongues was always used in the presence of unbelievers and never believers. And Paul gives us the rule that tongues was never to be uttered without an interpretation. So just kind of put a pin in that, and maybe we'll cover that a little bit more. Now let me jump down to verse 5 and 6. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. When these three events were noised abroad, the multitude, no number is given as a decidus of this crowd, but it was huge, and it supports the probability that this happened around the temple area. Assembled together and were bewildered or troubled in mind, because each and every man heard with understanding these Galileans speak in his own dialect, his own tongue or language peculiar to each one of them that were present at this time. And it says in verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And they were beside themselves. Why? Because they were witnessing, what they were witnessing was not normal, was not of the earth, nor possible without something divine going on here. Not only were they beside themselves, but they wondered in amazement, saying one to another, look, are these not all Galileans? How is it that we're hearing them in our own language? And here we, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, in verse 8. They not only heard the Galileans speak in their own dialect, but in the birth language where they were born. They wanted to know, how is this possible? It can't be. There's no other way to describe this unless something divine is going on. And I just love the way God does things, because when he does these things, he makes it that sure that you understand it's only him and nothing but him. There is no way that man could have provided and performed this miracle without the power and the presence of God himself. And then when we look through all the nations that were represented, if you were to get a map and look at all the cities named here, you would get a general idea of the distance of the law of Moses that went out throughout the known world. Now God is going to use the birth of the church. He's going to use this new entity called the church. He's going to use the body of Christ to even further his kingdom throughout the known world. Because Acts 1:8, Jesus said unto the disciples, and ye shall be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. They said that they had heard these men speak in their glossa, the mighty deeds of God spoken in their own language. Now look carefully at verses 5 through 11. If you can, read those verses, okay? The word language in verse 6 and the word tongue in verse 8 are the same Greek word. It refers to a dialect or a human language. In fact, the Greek word is translated conversation, speech, discord, language, the tongue, the language of any particular people. The word tongue in verse 11 is the Greek word glossa, which we already seen is translated a human language. So therefore, sometimes we get hung up on this ecstatic speech, but the Bible is very specific in stating that this is a known human language. We can find representations of this fact in Acts chapter 21, verse 40, Acts chapter 22, verse 2, Acts chapter 26, verse 14. There's some other verses that I don't have time to really give you at this point. There is no question that tongues or tongue refers to a known human language, not to some ecstatic, unintelligible speech or utterance. Not only that, but there is an interpretation gift that goes along, as I spoke of early in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Greek word interpretation is where we get our word hermeneutics, which is the study of biblical interpretation. The Greek word for hermeneutics means to interpret or to expound, to translate that which has been spoken or written in a foreign language into a particular vernacular. Okay, so what do we see about tongues so far? Tongues are a known human language. This truth is seen both in Acts the second chapter and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 13. Many other passages confirm this point that tongues are a known human language. Tongues are to be translated, and the translation is specific and in the same word is used in every instance. Both Greek words refer to a language or a dialect known to man, not ecstatic speech. And again, that's what I said, where the controversy will come. Because I'm not going to go into that because I don't wish, my point here is not to become controversial, but just to give us what the Word of God says. I don't refute anybody's experience because the experience is true to you, you've had it. But I just say, please read the text and allow the text to speak to your heart and see what the text really has to say. Now let's pick it up in about verse 12. It says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mock, saying, these men are full of new wine. Now, anytime God does a miracle, a wonder work, an awesome move, and display of his presence and his power, there will always be those who doubt. And not only do they doubt, but they begin to mock that which they do not understand. When men fail to believe the supernatural, when men fail to believe what God has done, even when surrounded by the evidence, they will mock it, ridicule it, and sneer at it. But worse than that, they will paint it in a very undignified light before others. They'll try and tear it down. They'll try to belittle it. They try and make it seem nonsensical. They just try to say, oh, this is just crazy. You can't believe that kind of stuff. That's the enemy working. That's the flesh working. That's the influence of the world working. Because we who understand the things of God know that when God does something, he does it well. Well, my brothers and sisters, I'm just about out of time once again for another broadcast. Please pray for me as I pray for you, and please tune in next week as we go further into the study of God's Word. Again, don't allow my interpretation to make us disagreeable, but let us try and reason together the Word of God. God bless and see you again next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.